Good morning, 738 News Radio, 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us now, Congressman Matt Gaetz, District 1, Northwest Florida's U.S. Representative. Congressman, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. This is a weird day. It's a weird day, not because of all the coronavirus news or because of President Trump wearing a mask over the weekend or because we're getting ready to vote on the monument tomorrow in city council, but because the Blue Angel show didn't happen. And it's like this big event every year that it just kind of wasn't there. And so it's kind of a weird. Normally today we'd be playing clips from the air show and talking about the, and it just didn't happen. It's an odd day.
And in Pensacola, we were talking about this off air. The Blue Angels air show is a lot about how you mark the year, you know, like what
yeah.
kind of Blue Angels show you had, like in 2018 or 2019 or 2017. You remember the friends you hung out with. You remember the cool things you saw. For that not to happen, it does put a damper on 2020, no doubt.
Yeah, it's almost like this is our Christmas. You know, this is when how we think of the year. You know, remember last year was the weather interfered with the show, and so we just got passes. And the year before that, you're exactly right.
When sequestration threatened the Blue Angels, like that was when everybody learned what sequestration was.
Yeah, no, that's no doubt. Meanwhile, because the base is closed, a lot of the news about base stuff we kind of have to make sure that we're aware of. And there's big base news. You know, NETC just had their change of command ceremony last week. I'll play some of that audio tomorrow. We got the Tripoli commissioning, which is coming in on Wednesday. There's other stuff out of the base, though, too, right?
Right. Tomorrow, the Decisive is going to arrive. This will be our fifth Coast Guard vessel carrying 75 Coasties, building out that mission, making our drug interdiction efforts more resilient in the Caribbean. And she's going to be coming in tomorrow from her prior home in Wilmington. I've told the folks in North Carolina will take good care of her and the great Coast Guard members who are aboard that great vessel.
And I sometimes have trouble remembering the number, but if I'm not mistaken, that's four now with one more supposed to be coming in the next year. Do I have that right?
Yes. Yes, we'll close out with five vessels, five Coast Guard vessels, and that will really, I think, you know, to go during my congressional term from zero to five really helps us make the case that the mission at NAS Pensacola is becoming more and more of a joint mission. And that helps you in BRAC, that helps you with infrastructure. It just really helps with a lot of the things we do to make Northwest Florida the best military community in America.
Right. Well, I think we had one. I think we had the Cypress was here before, so we're adding four, but still.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. My mistake.
Yeah, no, I know. Things happen. But yeah, it's a great improvement in the force. And, you know, they're kind of being brought here to put in one place the need for parts maintenance on these older vessels, all of them. So it's, you know, it makes perfect sense. But again, it's kind of shielded from public view a lot because we don't have access to the base right now. Speaking of that, is there any word? I feel like we are continually waiting on the outcome of the investigation into the December attack. And I know you've been keeping real close track on that. I know we're under COVID-19 kinds of restrictions also, but as far as the security restrictions related to the attack, have you heard anything about final reports or changes in that?
Well, obviously we saw the interim report about the inspiration coming from AQAP, Al-Qaeda on the Arabian Peninsula.
Right.
We have the Secures Act, which Congressman Michael Waltz and I have sponsored, which is part of the National Defense Authorization Act, that we will be voting on the floor the week of the 20th. That will set standards for base security that will help us here. But we still have unique circumstances at NAS Pensacola regarding ingress and egress that we have to resolve for the long-term health of the museum and also for access to the cemetery. So those issues have always been sticky wickets. They're not easier today as a result of the attack. They're also not easier today as a result of coronavirus. So these become, you know, increasingly more challenging double helixes to unwind.
Yeah, no, it's very complicated. And then, of course, we saw in where is it? Was it the the Washington Navy Yard? Maybe that's where it was that the they're moving their museum out of the base entirely, and so people start to speculate. Well, you know, could that? You know, well, the enclave is expensive. Moving a museum is expensive. I mean, what's the price tag you're willing to pay? And again, under these circumstances, it's tough to navigate. We're talking to Matt Gaetz. He is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Tomorrow, the city council is supposed to have a special meeting to talk about the future of the Lee Square Monument. You've weighed in on this. What is your perspective on that? You know, I mean, you're the congressman for this area, so you have a relevant interest. What is your perspective?
I do not believe in taking down history. I believe in adding to it. You know, the reason that so many of these Confederate monuments exist throughout the South is because they were a part of the reconciliation process. And while after the Civil War there was a lot of bad stuff that happened in America, I do think we can be proud of the fact that we did reconcile. I mean, if you look at civil wars throughout human history, it doesn't usually end with one nation stitched back together, capable of becoming the strongest nation in all of human history. But we did it. And sure, there were awful moments along the way for which we have to improve and be a more perfect union. But this notion that we could just go and strip down these monuments is crazy to me. And it's not because we're particularly honoring these men or marking these moments in time. It's that these statues and monuments matter because they're all part of our national tapestry. They build national identity. And this isn't going to stop with the Confederates. I mean, heck, they were taking down Frederick Douglass in Baltimore, of all people. So I don't even think it's about race. I think it's about trying to erode a national identity to replace it with something else. And I think it's foolish to think that this is a policy debate about the virtues of the Confederacy. I think it goes so much deeper, and I would not be voting to take, you know, Lee down. Now, if there are additional things we can add to provide greater context for history, I'm all about more history. I'm not about less of it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I have been advocating is let's increase awareness, let's increase information, let's put up as many more monuments and plaques and educational stuff as we can. I'm not for tearing things down almost ever because I fear what it caters to and what it encourages, quite frankly, for the future. We're talking
about... Yeah, have you been to Jefferson's Memorial in Washington? It's a great example. You know, Jefferson was a slave owner, but it marks the things he wrote, the things he said, the values he ingrained into the country, and then it also marks this... You know, this great hypocrisy that Jefferson was aware of with slavery. I mean, he at one point said, "We have the wolf by the ears. We can neither ride him nor let him go." He understood that these values we were espousing were not consistent with slavery. And so I think the more we learn about those things and the challenges the Founding Fathers went through in that regard and the obvious inconsistency of slavery with Americanism, I think that's the way to go forward, not to just, like, pretend bad things didn't happen. What if we become such a fragile nation that we couldn't confront our history and then work to achieve better for the future?
Yeah, and it's never, I don't think anybody's ever been under the assumption that these people were meant to be, like we're saying, they're perfect. I mean, that's, you know, certainly as Christians, we know nobody's perfect. By the way, somebody texted and asked, isn't the city council meeting on the monument Thursday? No, they moved it to Tuesday. It is tomorrow, in fact, at 5:30 p.m. Now we're turning to Congressman Matt Gaetz. Congressman, it's been a few weeks since you and I have had a chance to talk because of vacation and schedules and whatnot. The news that had come out just before just after we last talked, so we haven't talked about this since, was your news about your son, Nestor. And I just thought, you know, this is a question, a topic that a lot of people are very curious about, have been curious about, and kind of wanted to hear you talk about. How did it come to be that our congressman has a son that nobody knew about?
Well, in Fort Walton Beach, a lot of folks know about Nestor. You know, he is pretty prominent in the community here. He's a star soccer player. He was a great student at Shakopee High School. Now he's getting ready to go off to Troy University to study nursing. But 7 years ago, when I was dating his sister, I sort of took responsibility of raising him. And while things didn't work out with me and her for reasons I'm sure more my fault than hers, he and I formed a special bond. And, you know, for the better part of the last 7 years, I've been raising him. And that has formed a special family bond with us that isn't defined by blood or paperwork. He's a 19-year-old young man now, and he brings me the greatest joy in all of life. And he's not white, and so when another congressman said in committee that white Republicans should just disengage from the policing debate, that we didn't have a right to talk about it. I was pretty set off by that. I mean, these other members don't know our life experiences. Just because I'm white, why should they presume? Like, I haven't had to have the talk with a non-white adolescent about interactions with police, because I have had that talk with my son, and I can imagine it might be a different talk than if he were white. And so I was not expecting that would be the moment that the whole world would know about Nestor and I, but if you come to our church, if you go to the soccer games, if you hang out around Shakopee High School, folks and parents and community members are pretty well aware that this is a big part of my life.
So I know the one question that a lot of people kind of had asked was, you know, you didn't keep it a secret in the sense of, obviously, you know, people in that community knew, but I feel like you and I are pretty close. I know you pretty well, and I didn't know, and certainly a lot of people feel like, wow, how could this be something that nobody knows? Why were you not more public about it? I mean, I think I know what your answer is going to be, but I'm just kind of curious how you address that question.
When Nestor arrived, he was 12 years old. He didn't speak a word of English, and I just thought that for the wonder years and for high school, it's probably challenging enough to learn a new language and go through the trials and tribulations of that part of a young person's life without the microscope of politics. And again, you know, at political events I've done, on campaigns I've been a part of, my son's been there and been very involved, but, you know, we didn't feel the need to go out and have some big public moment, because we wanted him to get through high school. But you can also understand that when a 19-year-old young man is on his way off to college, that there is a strong sense of family and identity that you attach with the people you love and the people who raised you. And, you know, he's eager to go out there and make his mark on the world, as so many young people are that age. And he's every bit a part of my family as if he were my own flesh and blood. And so we took joy in being able to share the happiness of our family with the world. And Nestor went on Tucker Carlson, and I thought he did a great job. I was super proud of him.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I mean, again, I think it's amazing and interesting to see you take over that responsibility and be that in a role to him. And like I said, when I saw it, I thought, oh, man, that's so cool and completely unexpected. So and explained your interaction with the congressman during the committee hearing. Matt Gaetz, who is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. Matt, thanks so much for the time this morning. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Andrew.